Então o Sr. Vasconcelos tem um salve-seja na costa, tá?
Tem um salve-seja, tem. Sempre aí a bufar bem, a doença dele é outra. Ele tem um campo na conta bancária.
São agora 23 horas. Não perca para a semana um novo episódio da Almerinda das Arroteias. Passo a passo, folha a folha, histórias contadas e por contar. A rádio vasculha a mesa de cabeceira e entre o candeeiro e a gaveta descobre o bálsamo de alguém que deixou escrito o que podia ter dito. Os autores de hoje e de anteontem, em palavras suspensas no éter. Livro de cabeceira. Sábados à meia-noite. Leitura marcada em 107.9.
Rádio Universidade de Coimbra.
Porque eu mereço.
Bem-vindos à segunda hora de Preto no Branco. Hoje no Preto no Branco estamos a viajar numa dimensão onde o tempo para, mas a vida continua, a paixão, o amor e o hiperespaço.
Worth a head full of ambassadors and leave world anyway. Come on up.
Hello, Doc.
Hello, Joan. Come in. Shut the door.
Surveying your kingdom?
The village doctor has to know everything. You'd be surprised how many diagnoses I've formed up here.
I love looking at the village from here. It looks so different.
That's because you see it all clearly and at once, as in a poet's eye.
I want to talk to you.
So you sit on the phone, but it's really none of my business.
Dr. McEwen says it's right down your street.
This is my street, a village street, and I'm a village doctor.
And only because you like living in a village. Dr. McEwen says what you don't know about neurology would fill a peanut.
I'm a good guesser.
Your guesses are published by very famous magazines like that Brain I've seen in your library. Dr. McEwen says...
I know what Dr. McEwen says. I had a talk with him on the phone this morning.
Oh, did you?
After I talked to you. This is really the ref's business. Not into the rehabilitation for this. Anyhow, what's it got to do with you?
I'm just interested.
Oh, I see. But strictly speaking, he's a ref case.
He's not a case at all. He's a person, a very fine person. And I want you to see him, Frank. I don't want just anybody mauling him about and asking him questions. I want you. I'm sure the RAF would say...
I know what the RAF would say. I had a talk to his CEO this morning.
Oh, Frank.
And I had a talk to his group medical officer, too. Fortunately, he's heard of me.
Oh, Frank.
And if you'd done that earlier, I would have told you earlier, you can't go around the place kidnapping good-looking RAF officers just because you like the shape of their nose.
It's not his nose. It's his voice. I fell for that before I ever saw him.
He still believes that he bailed out without a parachute.
Yes.
And he has hallucinations?
Mm-hmm.
And during these bouts, does he go rather pale?
Yes. Yes, he did.
And he has headaches here.
I think so. I don't know. You better ask him.
But he definitely sees things.
And hears.
All right. Did you tell him he was talking rubbish?
No.
Quite right.
He's not talking rubbish. He's talking very logically.
Then he can't be in love. Bye.
Thank you.
tell Shakespeare? Who are you, his agent?
Spotted snakes with double tongues, thorny hedgehogs we not see. Newts and blind worms.
Do no wrong.
Come not near our fairy queen.
Ah, you can never bring in a wall. What say you, Bottom?
Some guy or other.
My dear Private Logan, Bottom's not a gangster. Now watch me. Some man or other must present Wall. And let him have some plaster or some loam or some rough cast about him to signify Wall. And let him hold his fingers thus. And through that cranny shall Pyramus and Thisbe whisper. Now try that, my boy.
Can I do the business?
Business as well, yes.
Oh, brother. Some man or other must present Wall. And let him have some plaster, or some loam, or some rough cast about him to signify Wall.
I didn't see that one coming.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Frank. Squadron Leader Carter, Dr. Reed.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Do I get some tea?
It's ordered. Ginger cookies.
Good. Who's winning?
Well, June's very good.
But he's winning. Sit down, everybody.
Thanks.
I beseech your worship's name. I shall desire you a poor acquaintance, good Master Carter. If I cut my finger, I shall make both. Your name,
I've told Peter.
What?
Who you are, what you are, all about you.
Tall Otter.
And I've told you all about him.
Has she read your poems?
What poems?
Well, didn't you know this is Peter Carter?
I didn't know.
We hadn't got around to that yet.
I haven't got much modern stuff in my library, but you're there.
Oh, good.
I like your point of view, and I like your English. I hope we shall have some talks together.
So do I.
Now, let's get down to this thing. You never had any visions or hallucinations before?
Never.
What were you in civil life?
I was at Oxford.
Specializing?
European history.
Oh. Both parents alive?
My mother.
Brothers, sisters?
Two sisters, both in the Rims.
What was the cause of your father's death?
Same as mine.
Brain?
No, war.
When?
1917.
You're, 29?
27.
Called up?
No, volunteered, trained in Canada, went on ops in 41.
Bomber?
Spell of coastal, spell of instructor, back to bombers, Lancasters.
You must have done a good many operations.
67.
I'm surprised they let you go back with your experience and seniority.
It's a new job, master bomber.
Tricky.
Somebody's got to do it.
Now, about these headaches. When did they start?
Headaches?
Oh, I know you get them. I know you've had them for some time, and I know you've told nobody about them, especially IMO, right?
What else do you know?
I know about your eyes.
You know a good deal.
I'd like to know more.
All right.
Now, these headaches, when did they start?
About 6 months ago.
Bad?
Not at first.
Where, mostly?
Here.
Frontal and temporal. Did you ever have a rather nasty bang on the head?
I don't think so.
Sure?
The usual one, dropped as a baby. That spoiled everything for you?
Yes, I'm afraid it does.
I'll see what I can cook up.
Do you mind if I try something?
No, go ahead.
Now, just face this way. Don't move. Now, don't move your eyes. Look straight ahead.
Check.
What are you looking at?
Well, that girl with the red hair and the legs.
Right, I've got her. Don't take your eyes off her.
This is going to be easy.
Now, without moving your eyes, what can you see on the extreme right?
Fireplace.
In the center?
Girl.
Extreme left?
Windows.
Curtains?
Yes.
Color?
Red.
Right, that'll do.
You're quite done staring at that girl's legs, both of you.
Well, you've got to do what the doctor tells you. Confidentially, they're rather not needed.
Now, any loss of appetite?
No.
Nor of thirst?
No fear.
In fact, if anything, you've been eating and drinking rather more than usual.
You've just been looking at my mess bills.
And you've seen something?
Someone.
Clearly?
As clear as I see you.
Have you had a similar hallucination before?
No, thanks.
Tell me, do you believe in the survival of human personality after death?
I thought you said you read my verses.
Do you?
I don't know. I've never thought about it. Do you?
I don't know. I've thought about it too much. I thought I was asked to tea.
It isn't time yet.
Past my time. One last question. It may sound silly, but, that you've smelt something that couldn't possibly be there.
What an extraordinary thing.
What is?
How did you know?
It was a long shot. You have.
Yes, but if it was so silly, I would never have told you.
It's important. It might explain everything abnormal that you've seen and heard.
Well, that would be a relief, but it still can't explain how I can jump without a parachute and be alive.
No, it couldn't do that, but there might be a possible explanation even of that. Now, this heavenly messenger, you saw him quite clearly.
I told you, as clear as I see you.
And this smell, you imagined, was it at the same time?
Yes, it was particularly strong.
Was it a pleasant smell?
Yes.
Could you place it?
Fried onions.
And this messenger, he hasn't turned up again?
No, but he will.
When?
He picks his own time and stops it.
Peter's lodged an appeal.
Against what?
Against his caller.
That's the spirit. Don't give in.
I won't. I'm lucky that June knew you, Doctor. Thank you for coming.
June has lucky friends. I've got bad news for you.
Then why the grin?
You're going with me.
Where to?
To my house, for two reasons. First, I want to meet this chap next time he drops in. Second, I like a nice girl around the house, and she only comes to see me to borrow a book. And she's a slow reader.
What about my CO?
I fixed it with him. Besides, until we get this settled, I am your CO. And at my house, you get your tea at 4:30.
Tea break! All right!
Here, you get it at 5.
Save this, Doc!
Thank you.
We are shaping, Frank. We are shaping. I gave him a tablet.
Well, how can you tell exactly?
Oh, I can't tell exactly, but I know the patient.
But do you know him?
I think so.
Well, then tell me something about him.
Are we playing table tennis or are we not?
Right, your serve.
Right, ready?
Ready.
Go.
Your game. Now tell me what you think about him.
I think he's fascinating.
So do I.
Not biologically, medically. Have a drink?
Love one. What do the books say, Doc?
I see a dark stranger in his life.
Do you know what's wrong with him?
Yes, I think I do.
Is he going to be all right?
He'll be all right. Here's a drink.
Will he have any more hallucinations?
Yes.
How do you know?
Because this conductor promised to come back.
Will that make him worse?
Why should it?
I don't know. Seeing things, arguing about his own life, talking to a non-existent man.
He does exist for him.
He's not going mad then. His brain isn't being affected.
Of course it's being affected, but not in the way you mean. That's why I asked him about his sense of smell.
I saw it was important.
He's having a series of highly organized hallucinations comparable to an experience of actual life. A combination of vision, of hearing, and of idea. To a neurologist, that points to a direct connection with a sense of smell or of taste. Once that connection's established, we know where to look for the trouble. I only want to find out one thing more in his personal history, and I'll find that out later. Now, I'm not going to tell you anymore.
Thanks. But how did he survive the jump?
I don't know.
If we could find that out and tell him, it would save him.
It would help. But the main thing is for him to win his case.
Are you serious?
Perfectly serious. We must help him to win it.
How?
It depends on what message the conductor brings.
But suppose he loses his case? Oh, that's absurd.
If we see that he's losing, or we think he's going to lose, we'll find out the reason why he survived. Or we'll invent one. We'll have a couple of drinks, you and I, and we'll invent the greatest lie in medical history. Care for another game?
I don't mind.
Now, don't worry about him. You see that bell?
Yes.
He's promised to ring it if he gets another visit.
Fine.
Come on, yourself.
He's here, June! Doc!
Eh bien, mon cher. Comment ça va?
Not too good.
Not too good.
Ah.
I would not bother to ring that bell if I were you. Nothing will happen. A little trick of mine, you remember?
After all, what is time?
Tyranny?
Let me know if you're going to do that again, won't you?
This looks good.
Very good. Do you know the author?
No, but I often have a game with Philidor.
Philidor?
The greatest master of chess who ever lived. A Frenchman, naturellement. Come along and I'll introduce you.
Good.
Splendid.
No, I mean, you've got good news for me, my friend.
How did you guess?
Well, you wouldn't try to entice me with this Philidor.
Philidor.
Philidor, if you had the right to conduct me anyway.
True.
Well?
Speaking officially, I have.
Good news for you.
Good. You are to be allowed to appeal to the High Court.
Splendid.
The trial will be a full dress affair. Très chic. In 3 days to give you time to prepare your case.
Better and better.
Do not be too pleased.
Why, is there a catch?
The prosecuting counsel. Of course, I am not permitted to offer advice or give a personal opinion, but...
Well, who is this prosecuting counsel?
Be prepared.
For what?
A shock.
Well, come on, tell me the worst. Who is it?
Abraham Farlan.
Come again?
Abraham Farlan.
Well, I never heard of him.
No.
Never in my life.
He lives in Boston.
I've never been in Boston.
Massachusetts.
I've never been there.
Abraham Farlan died in Boston in 1775. Does that date convey anything to you?
Lexington, Concord.
Exactly. You are good at history. The American War of Independence.
Well, he was killed.
By a British bullet.
Oh, he might be prejudiced.
He hates your guts. And he hates the guts of every Englishman. And particularly, he hates this little affair with a Boston-born girl.
It's not a little affair.
A big affair. He will hate even more.
All right, I'll appeal against it.
It will be no good. After all, we had to choose a good man. The honor of the département is at stake. No, what you have to do is to choose a good man for yourself.
As defending counsel?
Precisely.
Can I choose anybody?
Anybody in the other world? Anybody who has ever lived upon Earth? Everybody is at your disposal. You can choose me.
That would suit your book.
But do not waste any time. Abraham Farlan is piling up his case already. You can choose Socrates. You can choose William Pitt. You can choose Henry VIII. Oh, Madame du Barry. She knows all about love.
Rather a one-track mind.
You are a good chess player.
Philidor! I'll think it over. By the way, I'd like to borrow this.
It's not mine. It belongs to the doctor.
Oh, doctors.
What about them?
They give me a great deal of trouble in my job.
He was here. He tricked us.
Yes. He was here. And these were on the floor.
Peter, sit down. Now, look up. You've been doing some hard talking.
I have.
I hope you didn't give in to anything.
No.
That's the spirit.
Do you think I could stay overnight, Frank?
Yes, I'll tell Mrs. Tucker.
I don't need anything much.
Now, let's see. I'll tell Mrs. Tucker you're staying.
Dr. Reeves.
Yes?
Can I stay in here? I want to be near these books.
Of course, I'll fix up a camp bed.
Great news, darling.
What, sweet?
I'm to be allowed to appeal.
Really?
Oh, June, I don't want to leave you.
Darling, why should you leave me? Everything will be all right.
Well, if I can get a good counsel.
Of course you will.
It's very important. I don't want to lose you.
Darling, I don't intend to let you go. No one can take you from me. I won't let them.
It's no good. You see, a judgment against me will be backed up by all the power of this world and of the other.
Drink this.
He's got the right to appeal.
Splendid. Did you smell anything? The same? Fried onions?
Yes.
Good. Drink that up. Any headache? You can tell me tomorrow what he said.
No, he said... Good heavens.
What is it?
He got my 100 best games.
What?
Alekhine's chess book, 100 best games. You sure?
Absolutely certain. He had it in his hand. What a nerve.
A bit cool. Now, how about getting to bed?
I want to talk to you first. It's important.
No, not now. Have a long sleep. Tomorrow you'll feel as fresh as a daisy.
It's about my counsel. I don't think you believe a word of what I say.
Of course we do.
My dear friend, here on Earth, I'm your defending counsel. And as your counsel, I believe everything you tell me. Oh, Dr. Gutter.
Why, hello, Dr. Reeves. You make your rounds the hard way. Give me a coupe anytime.
Is Dr. McEwen free?
You're just going to operate.
Oh.
He hasn't started yet. I'll tell him. I imagine he'll see you in the washroom.
Thanks.
Hello, Frank. What's new?
Deterioration all around. We ought to operate tonight.
That's impossible. We're swamped. Are you sure of your diagnosis?
Certain. I discovered the missing fact. He had slight concussion 2 years ago with no after effects. X-ray is inconclusive. You've seen the ocular reports. You know all about these highly organized hallucinations coupled with a sense of smell. Everything points to arachnoid adhesions involving the olfactory nerve in the brain.
It's a tricky operation, but I've never seen one.
I have several at the Hospital de la Pitié in Paris. I've made some notes. I wonder if the surgeon could see them.
Sure. It'll be Dr. Lyser. He's a very fine neurosurgeon.
Lyser, a good man.
I don't see how we can manage tonight. There's no crisis in such a thing. Any day will do.
No, it won't. And I'll tell you why I think it won't and why there is a crisis. I'm afraid of his brain being permanently affected.
Insanity?
Yes.
Why?
Because his trial is fixed for tonight and he hasn't found anyone to defend him yet. He spends all his time in my library or in talks with me and the girl. He only sleeps when I drug him. The boy has a fine mind, but it's over text. That's the trouble. It's too good a mind. A weak mind isn't strong enough to hurt itself. Stupidity has saved many a man from going mad.
Yes, you're right there.
And he's had several talks with this heavenly messenger. Hallucinations, of course, but you never saw such an imagination. I've been taking tips on the other world, laws, system, architecture. Here's the interesting point. He never steps outside the limits of his own imagination.
I don't quite get you.
Nothing he invents is entirely fantastic. It's invention, but logical invention. And the keystone to his invention is that the trial takes place tonight. He must win or lose his case tonight, and that's why I think we ought to operate tonight. It's no use shaking your head, and that's why I think we ought to find a counsel to save him from losing his case, or we may lose him.
What about him?
Lincoln. No, it's hardly fair to drag him in. I don't believe he'd be prejudiced.
Plato. How would you like to be defended by Plato? Nobody knew more about reasoning than Plato.
He was 81 when he died. He might be too old to think love important.
You think so? Anyhow, Plato had very elementary ideas about love.
Besides, didn't he quote Sophocles when somebody asked him if he was still able to appreciate a woman?
What did the old boy say?
Well, he said, I'm only too glad to be rid of all that. It's like escaping from bondage to a raving madman.
These Greeks, cold as their marble. Now, if he had been French, Richelieu, for example, irresistible at 80. How about Richelieu?
I never liked him much in the Three Musketeers.
Solomon. No. Mais tonnerre de Dieu, who do you want? You have only a few hours left.
Look, it sounds a grand idea to have all these great men to choose from. But what do they know of our problems today?
True. Very little.
Besides, I think it ought to be an Englishman. Nobody famous, but somebody with his head screwed on all right.
Screwed?
No, This Abraham Farlow, was he a famous man?
He was the first American to be killed by a British bullet.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, was he a great philosopher or statesman?
He was a school teacher.
There, you see. Plato will probably talk about perceptions and causations.
Pardon?
Over your head, too?
Definitely. That's quite simple.
By the way, why are you so interested in my winning my case?
I?
Yes, you. And why am I being taken up this stairway? I'm not being taken for a ride, am I, by any chance?
What a suggestion.
Oh, take that bit of barley sugar away. I don't like it. I don't like your suggestions. I think I'll go back before it's too late.
Peter!
To appeal, you've been promised a fair trial. Don't give in to anybody, promise?
I've got no counsel.
We'll find the right man. They can't start your trial without your counsel.
They might appoint some stooge.
Nonsense.
Or let it go by default.
I tell you, we'll find somebody. They can't start till then.
Nobody famous.
No, that'd be the worst thing we could do. How about a pal of yours?
Might find somebody.
What about your radio operator?
Bob?
Yes, think it over. You couldn't get through.
They don't answer.
It's a storm, Mr. Frank. They almost cut the telephone off.
I'll go on my bike.
No, one of us must go. Look, you're more valuable here. Now, if the ambulance comes, don't wait for me. If I meet it, I'll come back. Now, go to him. Don't allow him to despair. His life is in your hands.
Be long, darling.
I must talk to him. I don't think Bob's the right man.
I'll tell him you said so.
You know Bob?
No.
He was my Sparks. Highly operational type.
We'll find somebody.
Time's nearly up.
Frank will come up with something.
I wish he'd hurry.
cancer, which is a fine piece of diagnosis. He left notes for the operation, too.
Dr. Liza is very good, isn't he?
Best.
He's had an accident. Hasn't he?
Yes. A bad accident.
Is he dead?
Yes. He's dead. An atropine injection, sister?
Yes, 100.
Is this a cranial case?
Yes, that's right.
Hello, squadron leader. We're all ready for you.
Men in the service, a compatriot of yours.
What's his name?
Oh, John...
Bunyan, yes, of course.
And how is dear Peter?
Oh, he has a fighting charm.
Papa?
Dr. Frank Reeves.
Yes.
You are familiar with the case of Squadron Leader Carter.
I am.
He has chosen you to be his counsel.
I hope to.
Do you accept?
I do.
You have very little time in which to prepare your case. What facilities do you wish?
I should like to see my client and get his instructions. And I subpoena Flying Officer Trubshaw as a witness.
Certainly. Conductor 71, you will take Dr. Frank Reeves to Squadron Leader Carter.
her accent is foreign, it sounds sweet to me. We were born thousands of miles apart. We were made for each other.
That's an excellent piece of prose.
Sorry.
Nothing to be ashamed of.
May I kiss her, just in case you...
Okay, you may, but she will not know it.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, he's English. What is the good of kissing a girl if she does not feel it? Look.
What?
The evidence you wanted. That here.
Oh, I wish I could take one with me.
You are consent. You can do as you wish.
I say, why don't we wrap it up and take it with us?
Permit me.
That's it. The only real bit of evidence we have.
Quick. We must not keep the court waiting.
The Court of Appeal sits to consider the case of the Department of Records versus Squadron Leader Peter David Carter of the Royal Air Force. He claims negligence and superior rights and responsibilities arising out of that negligence. He is appealing for remission of the date of his term on Earth and for a reconsideration of his case. It has been decided to allow this appeal. It is for the jury to decide whether it shall be successful. Owing to the interest aroused by the case, there is an unusually large audience. We can, of course, seat everyone who wishes to be present, but the front rows have been reserved for those who have a special interest in the case. Members of the jury, do not allow yourselves to be influenced by anything but the facts and by your conscience. You will have every assistance from the court to help you to arrive at your verdict. The counsel for the prosecution will take his place. Counsel for the defense will take his place. I call upon the prosecution to open the case.
Your Honor, members of the jury, this case has three issues. Peter D. Carter, and he died on the second day of May, 1945, at 10 after 4 of the clock, British double summer time. Due to an oversight which I hasten to state is contrary to the traditions of a great service, the defendant did not die. Therefore, issue number one, who is responsible? When summoned to report some 20-odd hours later, the defendant refused, which he had borrowed, he had accumulated new responsibilities of an allegedly injured. Thank you.
the Court of Appeal sits to consider the case of the Department of Records versus Squadron Leader Peter David Carter of the Royal Air Force. He claims negligence and superior rights and responsibilities arising out of that negligence. He is appealing for remission of the date of his term on Earth and for a reconsideration of his case. It has been decided to allow this appeal. It is for the jury to decide whether it shall be successful. Owing to the interest aroused by the case, there is an unusually large audience. We can, of course, seat everyone who wishes to be present, but the front rows have been reserved for those who have a special interest in the case. Members of the jury, do not allow yourselves to be influenced by anything but the facts and by your conscience. You will have every assistance from the court to help you to arrive at your verdict. The counsel for the prosecution will take his place.
Counsel will withdraw the expression.
It's all right, Frank. He's right. There's no sense in love.
Wisdom still flowers in Boston. Can you prove that you love him?
How can I?
Would you be willing to die for him?
Yes.
Would you take his place in the balance sheet?
Yes.
Don't believe her.
Would you?
My lord.
Stand aside, sir.
You've got no right to a...
How dare you address me like that?
Peter, you must obey.
Well, of all the dirty tricks...
This is contempt of court. I'll have you committed.
Commit away. Don't answer any more questions.
Do you realize that by this attitude, you've forfeited any chance of winning your case?
All right, but you won't get June as well.
Your Honor, members of the jury, I'm afraid he really does love you. Your witness.
June, you know me well. Do you trust me?
Yes, Frank, I trust you.
It is absolutely necessary that you take Peter's place in the other world.
Have you gone mad?
If you really love him, June, step onto this staircase and come with us.
You are mad.
It is the only way to prove your love.
I do love him.
You shan't go.
My lord, I ask the court to restrain him.
Granted.
June.
Take care, Dr. Reeves. In the whole universe, nothing is stronger than the law.
Goodbye, darling.